it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire inside Crane. One, two. He made it. He's done it. Faith of Flag Russell. And McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
From our first Midwest Bank Studios.
Strong, trusted, First Midwest Bank.
Perfect. As we keep you company here, it's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. As well as on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I follow you back, guaranteed. Just thinking about me, just like rolling up to the First Midwest Bank, right? And just be like.
Strong, trusted, First Midwest Bank.
What's up, man?
I got a withdrawal. You got to help me out.
What's up, man?
Just boombox on shoulder.
Think they'd appreciate that, you think?
They got to love it. Come on.
Dan Jiggins will be with us coming up. We'll get his thoughts about what is going on around the Bears and the Super Bowl coming up in 10 minutes right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood coming up as well. Stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You never know what you're going to get from Tales from the Hood. All right. Sean and Eric are producing the show tonight. We'll hear from Nick Friedell coming up in an hour from now, by the way, on the NBA. So I was looking at TheAthletic.com, and TheAthletic.com, The Athletic NFL beat writers polled defensive players to get answers to their most pressing quarterback questions. We received responses from 85 defensive players across 25 teams. The players have been granted anonymity to allow for candid responses. This is interesting. So I will turn to you guys. First question, Eric, which quarterback would you least like to face in a big game in the NFL?
Yeah, you got to go with the GOAT on that one. Brady's just done it too many times in crunch times right now. So
Sean?
Brady.
Sean?
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. The top answer was Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is runner-up at 32%. Also receiving votes, Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. I was wondering if Luck was going to be on there because he's got a lot of late comebacks in his career too now.
Yeah, I'm shocked Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Isn't up high as well.
Women weakens legs. So no, not as good as he was before Ciara.
Right, but better now that he has Ciara as well.
Yes, in some ways, yes. Not as good, but yet better.
Yep.
More interesting. Such a boring guy. Didn't say anything until Ciara came along. Now he's interesting. Now he's
a little bit of personality now.
He's doing a little carpool karaoke. He's doing some other things now. Ciara's like, listen up.
Did she pull him or did he pull her?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. I would imagine Russell Wilson has no game.
Exactly. I can't imagine
I would
him.
Agree.
Nope, I'm going to agree. Yep.
That is one of those situations where there is a go-between.
Friend of a friend, no doubt.
That I'm that dude that's pulling Russell Wilson at the bar to this girl and says, hey, I think that she's interested in you.
You're freaking Russell Wilson. Let's go.
Oh, wait until my book comes out. So many examples of that in my career. Sean, who is the most impressive quarterback under the age of 25?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
Eric?
Absolutely. No doubt on that one.
72% say Patrick Mahomes. Others receiving votes, Jared Goff and Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz.
Okay. Carson Wentz was terrific. I mean, he should have won the MVP last year.
Yeah, he was on track for that. You forget about him because of the injury. So,
All right, Eric. Who's the most impressive rookie quarterback in the NFL?
Impressive rookie quarterback this year. Baker. Baker Mayfield. I'd say it was my favorite rookie quarterback of this year.
Sean?
I'll double that. Baker.
Baker has 60% of the votes. Runner-up was Sam Darnold.
I'm kind of in the middle still on Darnold. He hasn't really shown me the accuracy I thought I'd see.
Lamar Jackson gets 7% of the vote. Here's the thing. I agree with the 7% of the vote because of the wins. Are those wins because of Lamar Jackson 100%? No. But I will tell Lamar Jackson, like I'll tell Mitch Trubisky, like I'll tell some of these other young quarterbacks that's on that third tier. Dude, you cannot run with the football.
Yeah, he's
so
not going to last in the league.
He has to get 5% for saving his coach's job.
That was a weird thing, too. That was two games before the season ended. Like, oh, Harbaugh's going to come back. He is? You sure you want to play out the rest of the season first? Strange. All right, what else do we have here from the athletic that I thought was interesting? Sean, if you could replace one NFL quarterback with Colin Kaepernick, who would you replace? If you could replace one NFL quarterback with Colin Kaepernick, whom would you pick?
Ryan Tannehill.
I like that answer.
Yeah. Cap in Miami.
Eric?
I want to say Josh Allen just because he kind of was similar with the running and everything this year, so he kind of might fit into that Buffalo offense a little bit better.
That's funny. That's a funny answer. It's a really funny answer. Josh Allen ran the football way too much, too. And that's not going to work either. Everybody thought they were smarter than the room when Josh Allen came around. Oh, you know, small school, but, you know,
huge
Josh Allen.
Arm and, yep.
Nope. The top answer to the question is Blake Bortles.
Okay, that's the right answer. Let's be honest. That's the right answer.
Jacksonville. Followed by Nathan Peterman.
Does he count for anything in this league? Like,
also receiving votes. How about this? Also receiving votes. Could you see Colin Kaepernick? Of course, Buffalo, you mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Bortles, Jacksonville. Team is all set. You just need offense. Need a quarterback. Eli Manning, Josh Allen, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Josh Rosen.
There you go. What about Kirk Cousins?
No way he makes it in New York. No. I can't see Cap in New York. Matter of fact, if he went to New York, his girlfriend would probably be bigger with her USA spots.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're talking about she'd find more. You're saying she'd find more place to eat, or?
No, I'm just saying she's still.
Anyway.
You're crazy.
That's all. You get that tomorrow.
What if you put Kaepernick onto the Vikings instead of Cousins? Do they go farther this year?
Cousins on the Vikings.
Off the Vikings, Kaepernick the Vikings. On.
No.
I don't think so either. No. That offense doesn't seem quite built for him.
Eric, which backup quarterback should be a starter?
Based off of what we saw this year, Nick Mullins is better than some of the starters in this league. The backup at San Francisco that played a bunch for Garoppolo. That'd be my go for.
Sean?
Hey, Chase Daniel could have started for some teams.
Chaser.
Absolutely. Chase Daniel.
32% said Nick Foles.
Yeah. I forget that he's a backup. You forget that.
Runners up on the list is Teddy Bridgewater and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick. You think you've seen enough, right? Also receiving votes, which backup should be a starter? Somehow Lamar Jackson got on this list, Tyrod Taylor, and Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill got some votes, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sean, which quarterback is the most dangerous on third down?
Aaron Rodgers.
Eric?
Man, I'll go with accuracy on this one and say Drew Brees because he was the most accurate quarterback this year.
Aaron Rodgers got 34% of the vote. The runners up were Russell Wilson with 13, Patrick Mahomes with 12. Others receiving votes, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, and Deshaun Watson.
So a lot of that has to do with extending the play. A lot of those votes were for players who could make that third down play last for 12 seconds.
Sean, here's a question for you as we get ready to talk to Dan Jiggetts here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Which quarterback would you most want as your teammate in the locker room in the NFL?
Cam Newton. I laugh at him every day. He gives me a reason to laugh at him every day.
I don't know if I could joke with Cam. He doesn't seem like one that could take a joke.
I don't need him to take it. I just need him to give me the material.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
Definitely on this list here.
As a teammate, I kind of want to hang out with Jameis. He seems like a wild time.
No, he would get everybody in trouble. I can see you hanging with Jameis, though, Eric. That's it. I can see that.
We're going to have a good time, I think.
Crab legs? This is crazy. Aaron Rodgers, 25%. That surprised me.
Aaron Rodgers?
That surprised me.
Really?
Yeah.
It is surprising.
Runners up, Tom Brady, Cam Newton. Also receiving votes, Philip Rivers, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Carson Wentz.
What about Dak, maybe? Because he's kind of soft-spoken, seems like a good teammate in that sense.
Yeah. Not on the list, though. Philip Rivers, that's an interesting... I was surprised at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, me too. He doesn't seem like the greatest clubhouse hang.
Philip Rivers can't hang out. He has too many kids.
The bolo tie. And one more before we hear from Jake, because I know he's on the line here. Which quarterback would you least want as your teammate in the locker room, Eric? Which quarterback would you least want as your teammate in the locker room?
I think I'll go Big Ben.
Fair.
Bad leader. Bad dude.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I'm going to say Josh Rosen.
He's just
his face, everything around him, about him, his demeanor. It's just like, get away from me, dude. I want to punch you.
Everything's funny to Josh Rosen. Everything's funny. I've seen too many press conferences already with Josh Rosen. It's like, yeah, we just got to go back and look at the film, and I guess we'll be okay. And then the press in Phoenix is like, why are you smiling? Like, you don't see me smiling.
Exactly.
It's a problem. It's like, okay.
He's a little smug, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, smug ain't done nothing.
Yeah, that's the problem. Rodgers is smug and has done a lot. There's the difference.
Here you go, Eric. The quarterback that you least want as your teammate in your locker room, Sean, Cam Newton, 14% of the vote, leading. No one would want Cam Newton as their teammate.
I can see that.
Wow. Jameis Winston, Ben Roethlisberger, the runners-up, 11%. Other receiving votes, Blake Bortles, Philip Rivers, Josh Rosen, and Nathan Peterman.
Poor Peterman, I love it. Why is he on these lists?
Why is Peterman he got a bad reputation in this league, man.
It's hilarious.
Poor Peterman.
God, he's so infamous. It's awesome.
It's because he sucks? Or?
Yeah, uh-huh. Because he's the worst ever.
His bedside manner is terrible? What's Maybe. The problem? Wow, I'm just surprised to see his name pop up on this list so often. Most underrated NFL quarterback is what? Who's Sean? Real quick. Underrated quarterback.
I would say Cam for what he's done for that organization.
Eric?
I'm going to say, and this may be off the board a little bit, Case Keenum, because he's had a solid two seasons and he's not talked about at all.
Top answer is Cam Newton.
Okay. He's it's a good answer.
Underrated.
Yeah,
he's carried that organization. I think people look at it from that standpoint.
He gets dogged a lot in the
without
media.
A lot of help, Hood.
I like him just as fine. Like, I consider him a top quarterback in the league. Me.
I do too.
But 14% for Cam Newton, most underrated NFL quarterback. Runners up, Philip Rivers, Alex Smith. Alex Smith. Others receiving votes, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, and Mitch Trubisky.
No. I mean, if you're going to put Lamar Jackson on there, you might as well put Trubisky on that list then.
As you're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7. Glad that you're with us here as we turn to a friend of the program. Former Chicago Bear, longtime broadcaster. It is Dan Jiggetts to talk to us about the Bears in the Super Bowl. And Dan joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. How are you, Dan?
Oh, glad to be here, Jonathan.
How's the family?
Everybody's doing great, thank God. We got a new addition, another grandson. So, we're all excited about that. So it makes three grandsons for us now. So we're all excited and happy.
All right, now, which one's going to be the offensive lineman? Which one?
Oh, no, I'm not going to let any of them play offensive line. I said, if they're not throwing the football, they're not playing.
They're all going to be quarterbacks. So,
I put a basketball in the hand, or a tennis racket, or a golf club before I do any of that.
I don't blame you. Well, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things Bears related. And of course, we're right here on the precipice of the Super Bowl, but I want to get your thoughts on, after watching the Bears under Nagy for 1 year, what did you glean from the Bears season?
Well, you know, first of all, the change in philosophy from an offensive standpoint was dramatic and what was needed. Now the whole idea is to be able to take the next step, and that is to continue to develop the quarterback and to get back to running the football the way that they need to run it successfully in order to truly take advantage of the offense that they run. And that's going to be something that, you know, they're going to have to figure out this offseason in terms of what to do. But I was really excited about what they were doing from a scheme standpoint with the offense. Now, obviously, you know, some things need to be tightened down, and, you know, the improvement has to happen not only with the running game, but also, you know, with the quarterback. He's got a lot of improving to do, and I'm looking forward to seeing him do that as he really gets comfortable in this offense and understands it. And, you know, you saw that, I think, in the latter part of the season where, suddenly if the situation called for him to be able to, to switch things up a little bit. You saw a little bit more of that. But there were still some inconsistencies there that, you know, had me concerned. And I still think that, you know, there's more work to do in terms of improving the receiving core.
So here's the common drumbeat that I heard a lot during the season, taking calls, you know, after games and all week, is, Dan, I think that some Bears fans, not all, but there are some Bears fans that look at Pat Mahomes, they look at Goff when he was on, mm-hmm. and they look over there and they say, boy, the ball goes down the field quickly with those guys. Yep. And here's Matt Nagy in this offense, and it just seems to go sideline to sideline, one read, oh, the guy's not there, so I'm going to run. It doesn't mean that Trubisky's bad, but it seems like his learning curve is a little bit longer than maybe some of the other younger quarterbacks that have a good offense.
Well, you know, in his case here, I think one of the other issues that you have to look at is what he was doing his first year is compared to what he was doing his second year. And, you know, even though Patrick Mahomes was not the starter, season four last, he was at least in that offense. And then that helps a great deal in terms of understanding what your reads are, getting comfortable with the timing of the offense. And that's the thing that, you know, you want to see Mitchell Trubisky improve on is just, you know, that feel. And that's why I was talking about, you know, making adjustments late in the season when he saw an opportunity and maybe he came off the first guy and went to a second or third read. Those are the kinds of things that take some time. And that's where, you know, you number one, you have to give him great protection up front. And then understanding that it's going to take some time for a guy to be able to get to where he wants to be in terms of his reads. If you look at it as an example, you know, you watch, I'm sure, in the playoffs, and you watch in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, and everybody talks about, you know, how great Tom Brady is. Well, one of the reasons why is how many times he get hit. And that's why he's able to play at 41 years old. Mm-hmm. But that offensive line keeps him relatively clean. And that's one of the other things that you have to do as an offensive line. You understand that if you got a young guy back there and he's trying to get through all of that, you know, that learning curve, you've got to give him the time to do it. And that's where I think, you know, from the big guys up front, that's where they have to improve on, too, to make sure that they give him that time. And he's not getting somebody just smacking him in the head every time he tries to throw a pass. And that's not to say they did, but there was pressure on him. And that's something that, you know, as an offensive line, you look at and say, that's something we can definitely improve on, and the run game is the other thing. So that's the whole offensive view of things. We talked about the receiving group, and, you know, gradually, again, they took a huge leap from where they were before. But now it's just about improving and nailing all of that down and getting better and better season to season at those positions as well. And defensively, I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a question mark going in, you know, how well they adjust on the other side of the football with Pagano coming in as a defensive coordinator. You know, not only do you have a new defensive coordinator, but you're going to have a lot of different position coaches. And that's going to, you know, that's going to take some time to unfold. It won't just pick up like it did with Vic here. You know, even though John Fox left, Vic was still here, mm-hmm. and things just kept running, you know, pretty smoothly. So there's going to be some adjustments on that side of the football as well. So, you know, you look at all that, and one thing we never talk about, but you know, I think Bears talking about, no pun intended, is the kicking game. That's the other area. they better get better. I think they have to get better if they're going to be the kind of team that makes a deep run.
Dan, that little twerp was on the Today Show. I can't believe it.
Are
you going to write a book now about your failure?
I don't think so. I think he learned from that experience. The best thing to do is just you know, dummy up and move on, man, because he didn't do himself any favors by doing that. You know, if he was spending so much time, you know, running to the Today shows, I mean, kicking footballs in Soldier Field as he did running to the Today show, he probably would have been still be, you know, pretty much in good shape here. Yeah, you know, I feel for him. Yeah, I really do. But then again, you know, we've all gone through it, you know, situations where, you know, things didn't turn out the way that you wanted them to. But to me, the excuse that, you know, that I heard early and why he didn't go down to Soldier Field and kick more was the fact that, you know, it was traffic. Well, it was traffic for everybody. You know, you got to go down to take care of what you've got to take care of. That's your job, my friend.
Yeah, it was no question about it. Dan Jiggins with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You know, the other thing is, too, I think we talked about this in the season, that Matt Nagy understands, Dan, like, at least he's not digging his heels in it and has a belief and that willing to change. You remember what Nagy said, that, like, oh, you know, the wind conditions in Lake Forest are the same as Soldier Field. And you told me, he was like, no, it's not the same. He needs to get down there. And finally, he did get down there, Parkey.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's one of the things that, you know, as a young guy, too, you know, relatively young guy coming in as a head coach, that's one of the things I've been interested in watching him, is that he's not one of those guys that's locked in and that's it and that's the way it's going to be. He kind of, you know, he learns as he goes, and that's a good thing. You know, if you're the kind of person that is able to have an open mind and see things a little bit differently and say, okay, maybe, you know, maybe we should try this. That's a good thing with a coach, I think, because some guys get bullheaded and they won't change, and that's when you run into a problem. That's when you have issues.
So you played against on teams that were against Elway and Montana. So is Brady better than Elway and Montana?
Well, you know what? I don't know. You know, it's a combination of two things. You know, he's number one. He's had, you know, the opportunity to have a situation around him where, if you look at the, you know, the coaching staff from the head coach to the coordinators and whatnot, they've always had some continuity of some sort or another. And I think that's one of the things that really helps. And Bill Belichick, you know, for the people that don't like him for whatever reason, I think that you have to credit him and the Kraft and Bob Kraft for the job that they've been able to do in terms of developing and maintaining a consistent approach to what they do. And one of the interesting things when you look at what they do to help somebody like Tom Brady is they figure out what, you know, what's going to work with him, and then they go out and get the personnel to match up. And if you look at their receiving group, just as an example, oh, you know, you take over the last 10 years, how many receivers have they had? And, yeah, they look like carbon copies because you keep popping them out. You know, it's you know, this guy, that guy, it's Edelman. I mean, all these guys kind of look the same, you know, but they're extremely Wes Welker going all the way back to then. You look at what they do from a personnel standpoint and building on what they know works with Tom Brady, and they have been extremely consistent in that area. And when they feel like they have a need, they go out and fill it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a top line guy. What they do is they bring a guy in and shape him into what they want him to be, to operate within their offense. So to get back to your original question, you know, if you look at Elway and you look at, you know, all the other greats, the Joe Montanas, yeah, you know, he's right in that conversation. There's no question about it. And to continue to roll at this age and be as effective as he is, you know, he is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time.
In your era, you remember when teams would have three quarterbacks on the roster and
that could play.
That 40-year-old would be third string, but he could play though if you needed him.
Oh yeah, and you know, and that's something that, you know, you notice a lot in you know, even in business, you know, you see it a lot. A lot of times when guys get a little bit older, sometimes, you know, people don't necessarily look at them the same way. I'm talking about the, you know, the management types. You know, they were looking for the next new thing. And when you have somebody that understands the game like Tom does and is essentially not only, you know, one of the best players in the league, but he's one of the best coaches in the league because he's the guy that basically is running that offense. You know, I guarantee if you talk to Bill Belichick, you say, what's it take in a quarterback meeting to get Tom on, you know, on the beam? He says, well, no, he'll probably say, well, no, actually, you know, Tom kind of, you know, he kind of runs things. And yeah, you can trust that guy because, heck, he's older than most of your offensive coordinators in the league right now.
Right. That's true. All the offensive geniuses. It's all of them. Just ask him.
Well, yeah, he's definitely older than his. Josh McDaniels. I mean, let's be honest. I think Tom's got 6 or 7 years on him, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I've been of the belief, Dan, that you know, until you start seeing the decline of Bill Belichick as a coach or Brady as a quarterback, I can't go against them. Like, I'm taking the Patriots on Sunday. I got another choice.
I blame you. I mean, you look at their history, and also I look back to you, Jonathan. Think back to one thing. When the Bears play the Rams here and beat them, I will guarantee you that Bill Belichick went back and got that game tape and broke it down to figure out how the Bears were able to upset that offense of the Rams. And then I bet you a lot of what they're going to be doing defensively is kind of going to try to mirror what the Bears did against the Rams. Now, granted, weather probably played a part in that, because remember that was a very cold game. But I'll tell you what, there's also the scheme and the way the guys came out and attacked them. And I'll bet you you'll see a lot of that mirrored in what the Patriots are going to be doing against the Rams.
Well, I'm looking forward to Sunday. I just want to see what young Goff brings to the table. From the Rams standpoint, I know what they bring defensively, but will they have enough against the Patriots? That's my big question coming in on Sunday.
Well, the interesting thing is going to be is if the Patriots are able to put some points on the board early, then the Rams will probably have a little bit of more of a difficult time. But if they can be playing it point for point going into the half, then it's going to be a fascinating finish to the game. Because the one thing the Rams do have is they have some guys that can put some numbers up on you. But the problem is as usually is with offenses like that, is if you can disrupt the timing of their passing game, you got them. And that can be a big problem for teams like the Rams when they get in a situation like this in a huge game. If they can disrupt them at the line of scrimmage and just upset the timing of the passing game, look out.
You're not a gambling man, Dan. Do you have some squares going around there? You got a little. What's going on?
I don't even bet with my grandsons.
No squares games at Jiggins Manor. Nothing there.
Nothing. I got nothing.
What's the setup going to look like now? Because you got the big screen. So what's your setup now? You're going to have something special cooking for Sunday?
Well, you know what? Not really. You know, my son-in-law, one of my son-in-laws, Lauren's husband, is a. He was born and raised in Boston, so he's a big-time Patriots fan. So we'll have to put up with that.
I just
kind of sit back and watch these games now and really enjoy them for what they are. You know, I'm not too wound up about anything except of course when it comes to the beloved. I'm still quite sensitive about that.
But. Yes, I understand. You gotta pull the Kool-Aid out of the garage soon.
Oh, man, please.
It's stacked up there.
I don't have to work it anymore, so I can just sit back and enjoy it now and don't have to worry about doing a post game show or anything like that. I can just sit back and truly watch the game and enjoy it now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you spent some time. I just want to bend your ear and find out your thoughts on this this big game coming up for Super Bowl Sunday. It should be interesting.
Yeah, and I do like the Patriots in this one.
And the Bear will be there next year, right? They're going to be that close.
Oh, no doubt. My friend, it's going to be 100 years, up a Bear and everything. I mean, come on.
Well, I tell you what, if we're there, Jonathan, I'll share some Kool-Aid with you.
Okay, well, that's a deal. Thank you, Dan. So Dan Jiggins with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Tales from the Hood is coming up next.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. You know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Yes, Northwestern Basketball, coached by Coach Collins and the Cats. They're going to be at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, and everything else in between. We'll hear from Nick Friedell coming up at 9:10. Eric, what do you have?
All right. A dispatcher in Lafayette, Indiana, got a phone call from a fifth grader who said he was having a very bad day and that he needed some help with his homework. Limited Inside Edition has the piece for me right here. Go ahead.
This 911 emergency was a kid having a really bad day.
911. Can you hear me?
911 dispatcher Antonia Bundy is taking a call from a youngster, and you'll never guess his reason for the emergency.
I had a really bad day, and
you had a bad day at school.
Yeah, I just came to tell you that.
Yeah, what happened at school that made you have a bad day?
I just have tons of homework.
That's right. He's complaining about too much homework.
What subject do you have homework in?
Math, and it's so hard.
What went through your mind when you realized, oh my gosh, this is a little kid calling 911 for math homework help?
He didn't sound like he was in good spirits, so just that in itself, that's what we're trained to do. We're trained people to help people in their worst time.
That's when this 911 operator from Indiana turned into a math tutor.
So what's 3 plus 1?
4.
So then 4 over 4 is what?
1?
Yeah, good job. Okay.
I'm sorry for calling you, but no, I really need help.
You're fine. We're always here to help.
I think it's important to point out you weren't exactly busy in this moment, right?
That day there were 6 other dispatchers in the room apart from myself. So thankfully I was able to dedicate the time to him. I hope I assisted him in a positive way. I hope I didn't give him the wrong answer. And I hope that he had a better day just due to me talking to him that day.
I had a really bad day.
So Antonia Bundy, 23-year-old dispatcher from Lafayette, doing good deeds.
But that kid shouldn't have been calling, though.
No, that kid, like, if that was an adult, that's, you're illegally calling 911 for an emergency, like, for a non-emergency purpose. If that's an adult, you can get ticketed for that.
Too much homework, huh?
Yeah.
You know how many times I wanted to pick up the phone and call someone said I got too much homework?
Maybe his parents got sick of listening to him, so then he just called 911.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That could, but I guess this is not one of those spots where the police come out and that's like a disruption of resources, you know,
right.
A kid comes out.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like she said, there were plenty of dispatchers on, so she wasn't busy. Goofy, right?
I'm trying to think about what the punishment is for that kid from a parent, from a parental standpoint. I mean, taking away the iPad and the iPhone and whatever.
Yeah, at that point, let's take away, like, come on, like.
Actually, you know what? Here's the answer. More tutoring. Saturdays and Sundays. More on the education tip.
Yeah. You want help? Let's get you help, and that's all you're doing on your weekends. Let's go.
Here's the punishment. The punishment of education.
I mean, that's a punishment for kids, though. Let's be real.
Gosh, that's a weird story. Here's an even weirder story. From the UK. Man who dated a cockroach for a year and had sex dreams about it says humans aren't as attractive. They say when you know, you know. One man who knew instantly he'd found the one had to sadly deal with their death when she passed away about a year ago into their relationship. Yes, but the one for Japanese man Yuta Shinohara was a cockroach. And because he wanted her to live forever with him, Yuta decided to eat his lover. If you're proud of the expression. And who doesn't? Uta explained to Asian YouTube channel Asian Boss, how he bought the cockroach, lovingly named Lisa. So the cockroach was named Lisa. I dated some cockroaches named Lisa.
Very nice.
From Africa, and even had sex dreams about her. But don't worry, he didn't attempt to do the deed in real life, as you know. The size doesn't fit. That was his words.
Oh, my. He thought about it, though.
The size doesn't fit.
Oh, that's weird as hell.
Try to lay the law down on the cockroach. Yeah. Well, nature lover Yuta is somewhat of a bug connoisseur in Japan, where he has made a name for himself in the insect cuisine. He has organized events serving bug cocktails. There's your name for the show, bug cocktails. Insect pastries and ramen with crickets and mealworms. He even had his favorite tree, which he calls heaven, that he enjoys napping on. Yeah, this guy needs to get punched in the face.
He's got his favorite tree named heaven?
Yes. It says right here.
Why name things that have no idea it has a name? Like, what's the point?
Like, you mean like a dog?
Well, they respond to their name.
Well, they respond to something.
They respond to their name once they learn it.
Yuta showed the presenter of the channel his favorite tree and then proceeded to tell her about his one true love. This is unbelievable. Dude dated a cockroach for a year.
And dreamed about it.
No. Sex dreams about it.
I just wanted to leave that part out. Just figured,
No.
I just figured people would imply.
No, don't bury the lead. No. Had sex dreams about it. I actually thought about laying up with a cockroach.
God, I'm unfortunately picturing what this dream could possibly be. And it's weird. I'm picturing a really big cockroach, though. Not a nice cockroach.
Blonde or redhead?
Well, I think they're kind of reddish, so I'll say it stays redhead.
So nasty.
Or is platinum blonde.
He had to keep the lights off, right?
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
If you cut the lights on, they run.
That's exactly right. Very, very true. Very true. It's unbelievable. Can't believe some of these stories are real.
I know.
But they are, because God, people are strange.
People are so weird. Exactly.
You know who I want to go out with now? I want to go out with a cockroach. I mean, seriously. That's what Yuta is thinking. You know, there's some people just not into human contact. They just want to rather be with, you know, cockroaches.
But why a cockroach? Like, they're the grossest of the insects, almost.
He's gross.
Yeah.
Of all the insects.
Point.
Sean Davis.
Well, we know we have this polar vortex.
What is wrong with your mic?
It is broken. I don't know.
No, you just hold it steady. What are you doing?
It won't hold.
You sound like the dude with the cockroaches.
The mic stand's a little flaccid, so falls down.
You don't have to move it though. This one is the same way. You'll see me move it around. You're not a rock star. Just hold on. Just stand there and just talk in a microphone.
Sean's stage presence over here is amazing.
It's ridiculous. Like no one else does that around this. Well, gentlemen. What the hell? Just turn it on and speak into it. It was like the old man has the older mic. No, I'm the oldest guy here. My mic stays the same. You never hear any creaking. It's a Ben Gay on your mic. Pardon the expression. Go ahead. Talk into it now.
Yo.
Jeez.
General Beer Northwest in Wisconsin, one of the main distributors for beer in the state of Wisconsin, said they're going to stop distributing beer Tuesday through Friday due to the polar vortex. They're worried about their beer freezing on the trucks. So this, of course, impacts grocery stores and bars. Well, most people won't come out to bars, but dealing with this type of thing we're dealing with in the Midwest, what's the one thing you guys couldn't go without? Like, is it beer? Like, when you're laid up inside for two straight days, if you didn't have beer, would you go crazy?
No, I'd be fine.
You'd be fine?
Yeah.
I'd say, like, movies or entertainment. If I didn't have, like, last night, my wife and I kind of got lit up last night. We got kind of drunk last night, and we were stuck inside.
It was the rosé, right?
Yeah, we were just like, what do we got left? I'm like, we got a bottle of rosé and a bottle of Moscato. So we both drank them.
Davis and I worked together last night, and nobody drank a drop. We just worked just hard.
Yeah, so, I mean, that, and then we just watched Netflix all night. So if you're holed up, I'm going to say some sort of entertainment.
I would say what I can't live without, no, fried chicken. No, now definitely... There's no Harold's. There's no me. No, I,
You're conceived in a Harold's parking lot. That's why. I get it.
Put that on the poll. Is there a Harold's open tonight?
No, I would probably say some kind of entertainment as well. We're in the entertainment business. Of course, I want to see something. So I would say some kind of entertainment, whether it is like movies, television shows, sitcoms, probably something like that, yeah.
So pretty much internet with all the streaming services and everything.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Something to entertain me.
Yeah. Here
we go. What would you say?
For me, it would be my ginger ale, man. Like, I need my ginger ale.
Why is that?
I just need it, man. It is like my alcohol. That's the closest thing I pretty much get to alcohol, so I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always good to mix that stuff if you need to with something.
Yeah, a little dark liquor every now and then. Oh,
by the way, there was something I see so much on social media. Where did I see this? Was it on Twitter or Instagram? Where there was a doctor that says that ginger ale actually does not settle the stomach. Like, it's been a lie all these years.
Man, a lot of people are upset by that news.
I gotta find that somewhere. I know I saw that like 2 days ago. I sent that to Peacock, and she was just like, "Oh, devil's a lie." Like, I was, because we always have ginger ale around the house. Never know what company will come by. Barbershop owner charged with performing illegal laser surgery that left a woman scarred. The owner of a new North Jersey barbershop was accused of performing unlicensed laser surgery on a woman in a procedure that left her badly injured. Young Juan Choi of the Cubs, was arrested on charges of aggravated assault and the unlicensed practice of medicine and surgery. This person is the owner of a barbershop, and he does laser surgery on the side.
Who sells him the equipment? Yo, like, is there a black market for laser surgery equipment?
Wait a minute. This is ridiculous, man. Investigators found a 72-year-old was not a doctor, and he wasn't licensed to perform the treatment. Just somebody that this woman knew.
Yeah, I want a two on the sides, a clip on the top, and then, you know, could you just laser my nose? It's really like rhinoplasty maybe while I'm here. Who allows someone to do that?
Someone is cheap and can't afford the actual real surgery.
That's like some of the tattoos you see out there sometimes.
Yeah. I've noticed. I've seen these. All right, this is dealer's choice. Davis, would-be banker gets cold feet, rips up a note. Arkansas man pleads guilty to attempted plane theft charge, or it's so cold in Indianapolis and other Midwest cities they can't deliver beer.
Yo, we just did one about the beer. Let's go ahead and do the one about the bank robber.
Fall River, Massachusetts. Police in Massachusetts are looking for a woman they say intended to rob a bank, but she got cold feet and left without a penny. Yes, Fall River police tell the Herald News the woman walked into the River Fall Municipal Credit Union on Monday and approached the teller. Police say the woman hesitated and told the teller, "Give me a minute," and went to a counter and wrote on a piece of paper. But then she ripped up the note dropped the pieces in the trash, and just walked out. The bank employees pieced the note together and said, "Give me the money." Anyone who recognizes the woman in surveillance, please call Fall River Police. Well, if you decide that you're not going to rob the bank, are you still charged?
I don't see why she should be. She made the right decision at the last moment. Like, why is she being punished for this?
Is it intent? Is that what you call
it? Is it conspiracy to rob a bank or something like that?
I mean, she was going to say, "Give me the money." And he's like, "No, that's okay. The bank's too small."
God, if we could get in trouble for crimes we thought about doing... That's a problem.
Oh, my God. So true. By the way, have you seen R. Kelly, that special lately?
From your hood to J hood. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. What is the latest? We were talking about ginger ale earlier. What's that latest on ginger ale? Because I know I read something that ginger ale actually does not soothe the stomach, Eric.
Right. So ginger actually is very good for queasiness and nausea. But in ginger ale, like all the kinds you buy, Seagram's, Canada Dry, whatever, there's not enough actual ginger in it to make any effect. It's saying it's the same thing as drinking a Sprite. Actually could upset your stomach more because of the amount of sugar in ginger ale.
Oh.
They say instead, just take some actual like ginger root and put it in some water, kind of like tea, and put honey in it and drink it that way.
I got it.
But okay. No, I'm drinking ginger ale because I like ginger ale. Mama said ginger ale works, right. It works, okay?
Mama said ginger ale works, and that always helped me when I had a upset stomach, which wasn't very often.
What brand are you favorite, Hood? Your Canada Dry, Schweppes?
Oh, the one that's the cheapest. It's just ginger ale. It's all the same. It's all the same. Whatever's on sale. Whatever the Jules has on sale with an S.
All of them.
So that would be best in the hood.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever is cheapest. We'll hear from Nick Friedell coming up on the NBA coming up at 9:10. Some high school basketball conversation with Michael O'Brien. This will be the first time we talked to Michael O'Brien on the show from the Sun Times. It's a lot. You'd be amazed. I actually have a lot of stuff to ask him. Curry's really good, and I need to ask him why. So we'll get into that. The Chicago Public League. I've got to set this thing up if we get a chance before we talk to Michael O'Brien about why some of you look at DePaul, UIC, Illinois, other schools in the state and say, how come we can't keep our kids? Meaning, how come the city and suburban superstars can't stay in the state? And so it's almost like you hold something against those colleges by not going to those games because you follow the high school kids and you think, man, I can't wait to see them in a local college in the state. And then they go elsewhere. They go everywhere besides Illinois programs. And so I think that you take offense to that, some of you. So we'll get into that coming up at the bottom of the hour, 9:35, right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So after the Saints got screwed, right, quote-unquote screwed by the officials, you're probably wondering, like, Sean Payton, like, how's he doing? Sean Payton, two things, the head coach for the Saints. Number one, Sean Payton had a very interesting shirt on underneath his zip-up. I believe it was a shirt that was making fun of Roger Goodell, but we can't be sure. But he talked about what he did, like, after that whole debacle where the Saints fell short of their goal trying to get to the Super Bowl.
What is it now, a week and a half? Feels like it's been, longer than that. I would say, honestly, after the game for 2 to 3 days, much like normal people, I sat, probably didn't come out of my room. I ate Jenny's ice cream and watched Netflix for three straight days. There's certain vices you gravitate to. For me, it's probably sugar. Anyway, much of what we told the team, you know, that obviously there are disappointments that you go through relative to your season, and this one, you know, where it happened, you know, in the postseason, and we've got to, you know, got to be able to get past that, and we will. We've got good leadership on this team. And I don't know that you ever completely get over it, but I think you do get past it. And there's enough resolve, I think, that this time away is healthy. And when it starts back up again in the spring and we'll look at that calendar, you get back at it again.
Ice cream and Netflix makes everything much better. We'll talk some NBA with Nick Friedell in our next half hour.
Listening to Jonathan Hood.
I'm all in my bag, as hard as it gets.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.